Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Anyway, it's good to have you guys here. It's good to have our online audience as well with us this morning. And man, I'm like ecstatic to be back this morning and to be with you. And I was telling First Service and staff earlier in the week that several months ago, it's probably been 8 months ago, 6 months ago, I was asked by a dear friend of our family. He was getting married, and Richard's in his early 30s, and he's never been married before. And he was like, "Hey, I found her. Would you do the wedding?" And I was like, "Yeah, when is it?" He said, "June 6th, perfect." And this was pre-everything that's just unfolded, right? And he was like, "June 6th. And then several weeks ago we talked, and I was like, "Hey, are you still doing the wedding?" He's like, "Dude, I'm in my 30s, man. I've waited a long time. We are doing this wedding. Nothing is stopping this wedding from happening. We are doing it." And I was like, "All right, we're there." And so then I asked him, "So what time's the wedding?" He said, 6 p.m. And I said, 6 p.m. Mountain Time? And he said, "Yep, because that's where we are." And I was like, 6 p.m. Mountain Time? That means like we're going to get home like at 2 in the morning. And we knew that we were starting back this morning, and I was like, "I don't care if we get home at 4 in the morning. I am so pumped to be at church this morning and so pumped to be together." And so if I like start like fading off the road because I'm like falling asleep, just hit me. Just throw something at me, all right? Because I'm going to throw something at you if you don't respond back to me. But anyway, so it was just fun, good time last night. But it's good to be back together. It's, man, I just paused during that last song and just listened to you all worshiping the Lord, and I was like, "Oh, man, Lord, that just feels good. That sounds good," and it's just good. And then to be able to come back together and to celebrate communion, our first Sunday back, that just glorious. To gather around the table of the Lord, and a table that has spaces and places for the brokenness of humanity, that's refreshing. To gather around the table of the Lord and be reminded of His great grace, that we are able to come. I don't know about you, but that's humbling. To gather around the table of the Lord and partake of the elements of His body and of His blood, that's healing. And how we need all of those things in our life and in our world today. I don't know. I mean, a lot has happened, right, since the last time we were together. I was thinking about it. I look at the younger ones among us, and I'm just like, man, 11 weeks. You have grown in the last 11 weeks, Emmett. You look bigger. Give me some bicep. There you go. All right. You know, I mean, the kids have grown. And then you think about COVID calories, that's a real thing, you know, and it's like, man, I don't know what happened, but I've grown too, and then I think about all the frustrations that this season has brought in filtering through all the news and all the opinions and walking and navigating this season, and now in the last 2 weeks, we're dealing with the chaos in our streets, with the injustice that occurred to George Floyd, and man, I'm so grateful that we're a part of a fellowship that one of our schools up in Minneapolis hosted the memorial service and built a bridge with the community up there. And I'm just so thankful for that and that opportunity that they are having to speak to the people of Minneapolis. And so with all of that, do you ever feel like you live in a bubble? That, you know, there's moments in your life where, I just feel like I live in a bubble. I live in Valley Center, and living in Valley Center, you just feel safe. You feel like maybe you're in a bubble because, I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever done it, but there's been a few times that I've left my garage door open all night long. And my door into our house unlocked. Man, people could have came and had a tour. in the middle of the night of our house, but nothing happened. I feel like at times I live in this bubble, separated from the pain and the frustrations and elements that people are experiencing. But I don't know, just to be honest, sometimes I like bubbles. Right? I like that I can go to bed at night, and if I don't lock my door, I'm going to be okay, most likely. I like that feeling. I like living in a bubble. I mean, just being honest. I had intended to continue in our series from the Gospel of Mark this morning, talking about the Sabbath and Sabbath rest as Jesus deals with that. And hopefully you've had some opportunity to rest in the season because of the different rhythm, and probably most likely because of the different rhythm, it totally wrecked an idea of rest maybe for you. And you're like, what's that? Because I don't know how to navigate the season. But I just felt prompted all week long just to step away from that. And really today we're just going to kind of have a family talk about what's going on in our culture, what's going on in our nation right now. Because the question I hear people asking all week, and they've asked me about it, and I, in different settings, I hear this question being asked, what can I do? What can I do? Steve, what can I do? I kind of live in a bubble where there's not a lot of different people of ethnic background around me, and it's a lot of people that look like me and same socioeconomic background and maybe hold to a lot of the same views. What can I do when I live in this bubble? What can I do when I feel like my bubble has been popped? What can I do when I feel like God is calling me and asking me to do something that is not out of that calls me out of my norm? Last Saturday, Robin and I had ran up to Baldwin City to see her parents and hang out with them because it had been a long time since we had done that. And on our way back, you know, through the drive there and back, while we were there, the conversation of the rioting and the protests and the injustices that occurred were a part of the day. As we were coming back, I was just, you know, kind of had a moment of silence in the car and just was praying and asking, Lord, what? I feel like I need to do something, and I don't know what to do. And I just really felt like the Lord had dropped it in my heart to call a couple of my friends here local that are of different background, different ethnicity than I am, a Hispanic brother and then a black brother. And so I reached out to them. I threw the idea at Robin, and she said, man, I think that would be a great idea if you do that. So I called them. It was like at 8:30 Saturday night, all right? So they probably had their slippers on, and they're probably thinking, man, I'm going to eat, you know, have a glass of milk, and I'm going to bed or whatever. And so I called them, and I was like, hey, Don, this is what I'm thinking, and with everything going on in our world, would you be willing tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock to meet me at your church? And I want to have a time of prayer with you and with Pastor Hector and just pray about the stuff that's going on in our nation, this tension that's going on, what happened, you know, with George Floyd, and pray about that. And pray for us, and we can do it. We'll just Facebook it live so those that want to jump on can do it. And Don was like, man, I'd love to do that. And I called Pastor Hector. He pastors the Hispanic church down on 21st Street and talked to him, and he was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I heard this last week. It's been said regarding prejudice and regarding racism that it's been politicized, it's been sensationalized, but not personalized. I mean, you can hide behind the issue when it's just politicized. You can hide behind it when it's sensationalized. But when it becomes personalized, it moves you in a different way, doesn't it? And I wanted to get there with my friends and pray with them and talk to them and have conversation with them, because the issue is about the individual, isn't it? It's not about, it's about people that are created in the image of God. It's about he's and hims and she's and hers and not they's. Whether it be socioeconomic, whether it be ethnicity, whether it be the places where you may come from and the people that you surround yourselves. It's about individuals created in the image and the likeness of God. And I wanted to personalize it. And so they were gracious to get together with me. It was rich. I had some interactions with people VI Facebook with that time. But let me ask you a question this morning that's been asked of me. What can I do? What can I do in this season? What can I do when it's obvious that there's stuff going on in our country and in our state and in our even our own community where this is a reality, but yet maybe it's not a reality for you because you're in a bubble. I'm in a bubble, and I don't mean that to be condescending. It's just, you know, just reality. And so last Sunday in my morning devotions, and rarely do I share thoughts from my devotional times because I really feel like those are things that the Lord speaks to me, but I wanted to share this thought. 1 Samuel chapter 15 is our text real quick, but if I could just kind of summarize what's going on. King Saul made a really bad decision and didn't follow the Lord's instruction regarding what he was to do with the Amalekites once the Israelites went in and destroyed them. And the Lord's instruction to them was, listen, destroy everything that remains. Just don't plunder it. Don't take it for yourself. Destroy it. But Saul didn't do that. He kept the stuff, the best stuff, and was going to use that stuff to sacrifice it unto the Lord. Because that sounded like a noble thing. That sounded like, hey, that makes sense to do. So that's what he thought he would do. And that's from that passage of Scripture, you get this. Samuel instructs Saul later on to obey is better than sacrifice. How many of you know a half right is still fully wrong? Right? You get pulled over by a police officer. Not that I've ever had that experience before. But you get pulled over, and he says, sir, you were speeding. Oh, really? How fast was I? You were going 55 in a 45. Well, at least I wasn't going 75. A half right is still a full wrong, right? And Samuel confronts Saul, because Saul's having a Saul syndrome in verse 17, and he says this, and Samuel said, though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. The New Living puts it this way, and Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of identify with Saul a little bit. You feel a little bit like, hey, I identify a little bit with him in that, man, I feel little right now. What can I do? What can I do with this situation? I don't have those feelings. I don't feel like I look at people in a way that's prejudiced or racist or anything like that, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to build build a bridge in that situation. Maybe you're suffering from Saul syndrome. Can I remind you, unlike Saul, God has placed his Holy Spirit in you. If you are a follower of Christ, God has placed his Spirit in you. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It says this, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is what? Say it with me. Lives in you. Your little, your 5'10" frame, your 5'6" frame, your 6'1" frame, whatever it is, your little can be much in the hands of a mighty God. Amen? High five your neighbor. Come on now. Right? Your little can become much in the hands of a mighty God. For every Pharaoh, there must be a Moses. For every Goliath, there must be a David. For every Nebuchadnezzar, there must be a Daniel. For every Jezebel, there has to be an Elijah. For every devil that rises against you, there is a mightier God who rises for you and in you. Amen? Little becomes hands, or becomes much in the hands of God. And Saul gives his reason, all right? This is Saul's reason for his disobedience. You find it in verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Isn't that what keeps us from stepping toward people or stepping towards needs? Man, I fear maybe their response. I fear the unknowns. I fear that which is unfamiliar. I fear that which is not like me. And so we stay in a bubble and instead of stepping towards it. Can I just remind us this morning, everything that has played out in the past 2 weeks in our world, be it brutality, be it the devaluing of life, be it the rioting, all the dysfunctions, all the chaos that is happening, all of it reminds us of what happens when we declare our independence from God. Think about it. United together, look at this up on the screen. United together, but divided from God is death. United with God, but divided from each other equals death as well. I mean, you can be united religion, you could be united with politics. Man, if the world would just become all Republican, then everything would be taken care of. Oh man, if the world would just become all Democrats or Democrats, then everything would be just perfect. No, it wouldn't. Why? Because we're divided from God. Our hearts aren't right. And so it's not going to bring that. No wonder Jesus said this, right? Love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then what does he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. United with God, united with each other equals life. It's a reality. See, you are little, but with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and Tim Enlow talked about that last Sunday in our service, you become great. It removes the boundaries. It removes the inability. It isn't about you becoming famous. It's not about a political aside or a political aisle. It's about the kingdom of God. A political party or position isn't the hope of the world, right? Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, whatever. That's not the hope of the world. The kingdom of God is the hope of the world. Our hope isn't in a political party or position. Our hope is in the person of Christ and his kingdom being established. If it is the gospel of Christ, it's the kingdom of Christ, it is Christians readying and moving into action. I love what Dallas Willard said. Dallas Willard, who is really a theologian and author, who's gone on to be with the Lord, said this: the world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. They have done the best they could, no doubt, but this is an age for spiritual heroes, a time for men and women to be heroic in their faith and in spiritual character and power. The greatest danger to the Christian church today is that of pitching its message too low. That's a powerful statement. You may feel little. You may be apathetic because of your bubble, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe you've been distracted because of other issues going on in your personal life and in your world, and you're distracted from that. Let me tell you who you are this morning. Can I just like speak this over you? Can I remind you of who you are this morning if you're a follower of Jesus? You are a reconciler, and you are a peacemaker. That's what Jesus says of you. That is what is spoken of you. Look at it, if you would. What is a reconciler? A reconciler is someone who brings reconciliation, a peacemaker, a go-between, if you will. It's an intercessor, an intermediator, a negotiator who acts as the link in between parties. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. John Ortberg said this, yes, God calls us to invite others to be reconciled to him. But God also teaches us to seek restoration with family members and friends and neighbors and anyone else whom we may be at odds with. You are a reconciler. Whether you signed up for it or you didn't sign up for it, if you're in Christ, you are a reconciler. So that brings us to a question. How do you do that? How do you bring reconciliation? You know, one of the things you do is you have to be willing to take a risk, especially if you live in a bubble, right? You have to be willing to take a risk. And so that's one of the things that I just really felt prompted that the Lord was stirring in me last Saturday night when I made that call. But Steve, you got to take a risk, because it's not that you are at odds with somebody from a different ethnic background or a socioeconomic background, or you think that you're better than them, but you maybe have gotten yourself in a bubble, so you don't feel what they feel. You've not had conversations with them to understand what they have experienced. And so that's why we're doing this Wednesday night online. You can watch it on Facebook Live, but also just through our website. And I encourage you to jump on and be a part of it, where me and Don are going to just sit down and just have dialogue. We're going to pepper each other with questions. What's it like being black in America? What's it like being white in America? What's it like? How do you build these bridges? What can we do together? What can we do to encourage each other? How do you raise kids? And letting that experience hopefully guide us and encourage us. We have to be willing to take a risk. You have to be willing to listen. We have to show people that we care. Back in the 80s and 90s, when I first came to Christ, a popular musician during that time was a man by the name of Steve Camp. And he produced an album called Justice. And I encourage you, if you have access you can find it on YouTube, but also Spotify and iTunes would have it as well. But he has a song called Do You Feel Their Pain? The context of the song is written to those, it was during the AIDS epidemic, and so it was written to victims of that were suffering from AIDS. But it applies even in our current social situations that are unfolding in our nation. But the words of the song, listen to these words. Do you feel their pain? Has it touched your life? Can you taste the salt in the tears that they cry? Will you love them more than the hate that's been? Will you love them back to life again? Powerful lyrics, stirring lyrics. It's questions like, man, help me understand what it's like. This past Thursday afternoon, I got together with Don, and we met over at Starbucks in Dillon's, and just sat there and talked for probably a couple hours. And I was just asking them questions. Don, what's it like as a black man to raise your boys when they were teenagers, and just throw some different questions. And I'm so grateful for his vulnerability. I'm so grateful for his wisdom. I'm so grateful for his heart and his love for Jesus. It was powerful. That's why we're encouraging you, and we've encouraged you all this year to ask yourself the question, who's my neighbor? And we have these magnets available for your refrigerator where you can write down your neighbors that surround your house. You know, we moved a couple months ago, and we're in a new neighborhood right now. And because of the COVID thing, some of our neighbors, I don't think they've come out of their house at all. Hardly, right? So we've not met them, and it's like driving us nuts. So this last week, I met two of my neighbors, first time. And so I've been able to write down their names, and it's okay, I want to pray for them and build relationship with them and serve them if at all possible, because that's what God calls us to do, right? To bring reconciliation, to bring the love of Christ. What else, or who else are you? Second thing, you're a reconciler. Second thing you are is a peacemaker. Jesus said this in his famous sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for what? They shall be called sons of God. So no matter what your background is, no matter what your belief is, I think that we would all have to agree that the facts of history, listen to me this morning, the facts of history and human experience communicate to us that peace does not characterize man's earthly existence. True? I mean, you look at human history, you look at how people interact with each other, peace is not one thing that defines, would not be a word that defines human existence and human interaction with one another. Why don't we have perpetual peace? There's two reasons. It's rather simple. One is just the opposition of Satan, that he will do anything to destroy human relationship. He will do anything to destroy people's lives. But the other one is the disobedience of men. So the fall of the angels and the fall of men establish a world without peace, right? It is sweet when we catch moments of it, like when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Oh, that's peace. Right? I mean, there's moments where it's just like, man, you experience that peace. You see a beautiful sunset. Last night when we were driving home, the moon rising was just absolutely astounding. It was incredible. And it's just like, oh, we should pull over, but that would cost us 30 seconds. Let's go. Right? And just these moments of peace, you capture those. Or perhaps by and large, you look at your life and you're like, man, my life has been rather peaceful. And I'm so grateful for that. That would maybe be a definition that you would use for your life. And that's awesome. But if we're called to be peacemakers, how can we bring peace into the moment that you're living in now and the moment that you will encounter in the future? Because the reality is that racism is a spiritual problem from the pit of hell. And until the return of Christ and the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth, it's going to be a reality because men are broken. But that's not an excuse to not step towards reconciliation and to step towards bringing peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, the author of Hebrews says this, strive. In other words, put to flight. It's the idea in my mind. I see the pilot going out to his plane and grabbing the propeller and pulling that propeller down and firing up the engine. Strive, put to flight for peace with everyone. And for the holiness with which no one will see, without which no one will see the Lord. Did you catch that in that passage of Scripture? Two words, peace and holiness. It takes us back to the earlier statement that we made, that united with God and united with each other will bring life. Peace without holiness, listen, peace without holiness isn't true peace. Peace without the presence of God is not true peace. Peace. You are God's ambassadors bringing God into situations. This week, you're going to have opportunities and conversations to bring the peace of God into that conversation. And without Him, true peace cannot exist. Let me paint it this way. Let this picture resonate within your heart, within your spirit from Psalms 85:10. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness, right living, some you could say holiness, righteousness and peace have kissed. Think about that. Think about the imagery. Told you we were in Goodland, Kansas last night performing a wedding, and it's the moment that the bride and the groom are waiting for, right? It's like, Richard, you may now kiss your bride. Bam. And I don't think he wanted to stop. Right? Righteousness and peace have kissed. It's the power. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, we read this, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Not so how it depends on your neighbor, not how it depends on a protester or someone that's starting a riot, not how it depends on a police force, not how it depends on our president, not how it depends on somebody that lives in a different area than you. Doesn't say that, does it? if possible, so far as it depends on you, on me. Live peaceably with all. So far as it depends on the words that you speak, the words that you use, live peaceably with all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner from the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to what? The measure of Christ's gift. I mean, peace is laced all through that passage of Scripture, is it not? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Lord, I sense this, like, this animosity. Lord, I fear. I sense this worry. I sense fear. No. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. Romans chapter 14, verse 19, last one. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Man, my job, my responsibility in being a reconciler and a peacemaker is to build. To build his kingdom and to build people. If I do that, I'm going to be doing my job as a peacemaker. It's been said, if the worship team would come, it's been said that we prove our sincerity about the vertical gospel of reconciliation, that God made us right with him through Jesus Christ, that we prove the vertical gospel of reconciliation through our willingness to move toward horizontal relationships that need reconciliation. That, in other words, that if I am in need of reconciling a relationship, then I must, part of my responsibility is to move towards that to the best of my ability. Well, see, what do I do if they're not willing? Well, you're not responsible for them. You're responsible for you. And that if you are willing and you say, well, I've done all I can do, then you've taken those steps. Now you just pray and you trust the Lord to work in that individual's heart. But you always stay open and you always guard your heart that anger and bitterness would never have an opportunity to take root, because how many know that stuff can move in really silently and quickly and you don't know it's there, and all of a sudden you've built a wall with somebody. Move towards those horizontal relationships that need reconciliation. Ask questions, have hard conversations, be part of the solution. Let me close with this. On December 26, 1944, the Japanese Army sent Lieutenant Hiro Unanda to the Philippine island of Lumbang. His orders were to fight on indefinitely. His orders were given, and he obeyed them. Word never reached him, though, that several months later, after being implanted into that island, that several months later, World War II came to a close. So for 30 more years, he went on fighting in the context of a war that existed only in his mind. He lived in hiding. He would come out at night and steal food from the villages and even shot at people every now and then. But 10 years into the hiding, he found a newspaper article about himself, but he thought it was a trick to try to get him to surrender. The Philippine government dropped leaflets into the jungle asking him to come out. They brought loudspeakers and shouted his name that the war is over. One day, his own brother stood at the microphone and begged him to give up, but he wouldn't believe it. Listen to this. Unanda fought until 1974. when the Japanese government sent his old commanding officer, Major Tungusai, who ordered Ananda to surrender, and he finally gave up. Ananda was trapped in 1945. Shut out the good news of peace and lost 30 years of his life hiding in jungles, loyal to a lost cause. You know what? There's people like Ananda today. When we trap our thoughts and feelings in a war that God ended a long time ago. The night that Jesus was born, angels stepped up to the microphone and shouted, if you will, in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, peace on earth, right? So for 2,000 years, God has been dropping leaflets of good news into the jungles of humanity. Through his cross, Christ won the victory. Let me ask you a question this morning, whether you're listening online or you're here in the sanctuary this morning. Isn't it time to give up on our ridiculous lost causes if we're holding to them and come out of hiding and start living again? Come out of a bubble, maybe, if we're fearful of a situation or fearful of someone who may be different than you. God has not only reconciled us to himself, but he has given us what, Paul says, the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that says to you and me? It's saying that God is saying to you, I believe in you. Go and reconcile some people to me, but also go and reconcile yourself to some people. And you'll see my peace, and you're going to see my love, and you're going to know my love, and you're going to know my peace in a way that you'll never, ever experience it if you're not willing to step outside your bubble. God has not only reconciled us to himself, but he's given us a ministry of that reconciliation. It makes me ask this question. What are we waiting for? And in asking that, it's not that, I'm not saying, please hear my heart, I'm not saying that none of us are doing anything. Man, I'm so grateful for Life Point and the things that are happening and the ministries that are flowing through. I'm so pumped for Thursday as we turn our parking lot into a distribution site and people just drive through and we're able to bless and speak life over people and give them some produce, whosoever. I mean, it's available forever to anyone, all right? So just anyone can come. It's available, but it's about extending hope. It's about extending grace and peace. And God says, I want to use you and you and you and you. Because I've placed my spirit, if you're a follower of Jesus, I've placed my spirit in you. You can do it.
Everybody dance. Everybody enter. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.